I understand that supper's just in a few minutes, so I remember some years back at a graduation back home, there was a fellow prepared to speak at the graduation, outside graduation, and he got up and it was storming, wind was blowing, people was holding to the clothes. He got up and he said, "I understand what time it is. God bless you, people that's graduated." And sent them home, and somebody said that was the best speech he ever gave. So, when Brother Robert came back there and said, "Won't you just say something?" I was trying to decide what the Lord would have us to say. And my wife said Sunday, we'd had homecoming and had some good preaching. And she said, "You know," she said, "I'd rather people leave to church hungry as foundered." And I think it's right. I do. And I've always tried to be mindful of time and wisdom about time. And so I'm not going to preach what I thought I would maybe preach, but I just want to read something to you and say a word, 5 minutes. I preached the other Sunday at the church, 20 minutes. And one of my men came to me and said, "Preacher, after the church I looked for Ripley's Believe It or Not number and couldn't find it." And he said, "I can't believe you preached 20 minutes. I said, "Write her down." I did. You don't even have to stand. I want you to look in Genesis 1. This is not what I had on my heart when I came, but see, Mike, when I sat back there, the Lord just kept putting this thing in my heart. And I just have three little things written down. I just wrote these three little things down in my Bible. And I'm not going to preach, I don't think. I just want to give you this. And I want to say this, I appreciate all the preaching. I mean that. I've been coming to this meeting several years. And other than the preaching that was done yesterday afternoon, the preaching's been good. I mean that, all the preaching. Brother Barry done a wonderful job last night. Brother Chris, Brother Brown this morning, tremendous. And then being there. The Bible's so full of that statement about being there. God told Moses, said, "I'll take you up there in the cleft of the rock, and there'll be a place by me." God said to Elijah, "Go down to Zarephath, be thou there." God told Joseph, "Take Mary and Jesus and go down to Egypt and be there." Sitting down there, they watched Jesus die. It's full of that. A place called there. I certainly want to be in a place called there. But here's what I just want to say to you. I'm not going to preach. This is just what I want to say to you. I feel like if God would have me to say anything to you, Brother Robert came back there and he said, "Don't be mindful of time." And I, of course, I am. I try to be that way. I try to be respectful of that. And he said, I said, "Are you sure, preacher?" He said, "Just say what you feel like you need to say." And this little thought just keeps lingering in my heart. Look in Genesis 1. I always have you to stand, but I'm not even going to have you do that. I want to ask you this question before I read. Much has been said in these meetings and these days. Much has been said about needing a move of God. How many of you preachers, I'm just talking primarily to preachers, but of course to church members also, how many of you will agree that what we need is a move of God? Will you not agree with that? Well, I want to ask the second question. What is a move of God? Now, I'm serious. I'm not being facetious, and I'm not being ugly. I'm afraid sometimes we equate things that are nothing less than emotional highs as a move of God. We go away and everybody's got entertained and emotionalized and excited. We call it a move of God. I've been meetings where nobody got entertained. Nobody got excited. And nobody got emotional. We had a meeting the other day at the church. I preached, and when folk went out the door, I've been accused, and I sometimes I've listened at it till I've almost let it play with my head. In my own ministry, I am a very, very serious person. Anybody that knows me knows that's true. And so I've had preachers to tell me, said, you'll ruin your ministry because you preach too serious. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But we had a move of God the other day when I preached. And folk went out the door, and literally, they couldn't speak. Everybody that got close to me, when they looked at me, they went around and went to quit weeping and crying. Nobody was laughing, joking. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have a move of God with that. But I'm asking you this question. What biblically is a move of God? Are you hearing me? I'm not preaching. I'm not going to preach. What is a move of God? How many understands the little statement or the principle of Bible hermeneutics of the first mention? What does that say? Somebody tell me what the principle of the first mention says. What's it say? Tell me, Brother Barry. Okay. How many heard what he said? The principle of the first mention is this. The first time you find that subject mentioned in the Scriptures, it will carry that same connotation through the entirety of the Word of God. It'll never deviate that. So what is a move of God? You got to go to the first place that God moved. Genesis 1:1. Now, I want you to understand, I've not studied this. I'm not prepared with this. It's just something I wrote down in my Bible. God kept speaking to me about back there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And here's the first move of God. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. I want to say these three things and I'll get out of the way. I'm not going to preach. What is a move of God? Let me say number one, a move of God will command light to shine out of darkness. That's a move of God. That's what the Bible done. Anytime that God moves, light will come into a dark place. Whether it's your mind, your ministry, or your marriage, when God moves, amen, I feel that little touch of God. When God moves, God will command light to shine out of darkness. I can't do that. You can't do that. Only God can speak and command light to shine out of darkness. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world blinded the minds of them that believe not. He said, but God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts Thank God for that day that God moved in my life and yours when we was lost, took the message of the gospel of Christ and commanded the darkness to move out and the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, shined in, and you saw yourself and the Savior and the world as it was, and God moved in your heart and saved your soul. Every move of God, number one, will shine light into darkness. If God moves, He'll point out dark things. I said I wasn't going to preach, and I'm not. I'm just talking to you a little bit. If God moves, He'll command light. Light will do two or three things. Number one, light will expel darkness. Darkness has got, you know, darkness cannot overcome light. I don't care if it's a match and how dark it is. Dark can't put the light out. God has a way, thank God, of walking in their lives, amen, and commanding light to shine. A move of God will command light to shine out of darkness. Let me say a second thing. Not only will a move of God command light to shine out of darkness, it will cause life to spring out of deadness. Amen. Nothing was alive till the Spirit moved. And then come nothing, stay dead no more. Hallelujah to God. I feel a little touch on that. Amen. If God moves, not only will light be commanded to shine out of darkness, but thank God there'll be life will spring out of deadness. Amen. Anytime God gets into something, friends, he can't stay dead no longer. We need a move of God that'll command light to shine out of our darkness and it'll cause life to spring out of our deadness. I've walked into the meeting pretty dead. How about you? Heaven looked like it was bankrupt. God was dead and heaven was bankrupt. And your mother-in-law flew in on a broomstick last week. Looked pretty dead to me. You know what happened when God moved? Life sprung up. When God moved them little dead twigs that was staying in the heart of the earth and covered up there in that dirt, and God touched all that and God seeded that and it sprang up, and then all of a sudden life came out of deadness. That's what will happen when life comes, when God moves. That's the first time you mention the Bible, and that's what will happen every time you see it in the Bible. We're talking about a move of God around our place, and we're just as dead when it got over as it was when it started. I wonder if it's really a move of God. I wonder if it wasn't a move of education and reformation and understanding and ways and little good tricky outlines and all of that, and we walked away and patted ourselves on the back and said we had a move of God. Our folks still in darkness. Our folks are still in deadness. There's no light and there's no life. Be assured there's no move of God. But I'll say thirdly, we'll still get to supper on time. According to this text, a move of God, let me say this. Light will expel darkness, but light will expose dirt. Company come unexpected, you don't want the lights turned up too bright. How many will agree with that? It'll expose the dust on the table and the spider web in the corner of the wall. So you keep the lights turned down a little bit. See, when God walks in, light comes in. Because God is a light. In Him, no darkness at all. And the first thing He does, He walks in, He expels the darkness, then He exposes the dirt. He shows those little things that ain't right. So therefore, what we want to do in our average church is keep the lights turned low. Don't want too much move of God around because it might expose some dirt. Amen. Well, there's a third thing light does, and I'm going to be gone. I'm going to tell that fellow at the church I preached 10 minutes. According to our text, light, the move of God in verse 2, commanded light to shine out darkness. Number 2, it caused life to spring out of deadness. And number 3, it created laws to settle disorder. Verse 4, there was a division. Verse 5, 6, there was a division. Verse 7, there was a division. Verse 14, there was a division. Verse 18, there's a division. God separated night from day, light from darkness. The firmament, waters above, waters below, the morning and the evening, the sun, the moon, the stars. God set laws to settle the disorder. In other words, God would draw some perimeters and establish some boundaries of separation. There's a move of God. What is a move of God? Is it shouting? I'm not against it. We get up and try to work everybody up here to a whole hive of shouty, 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 shouty thing. And don't never give them nothing to shout about. Just tell them they ought to be shouting. And we get done, everybody's told us we ought to shout, but ain't nobody's told us what we ought to shout about. And we go out because two or three got happy, and one or two shouted, and four or five testified and cried a little bit. And boy, we've had a move of God. We remain in darkness and deadness and disorder. And as Paul Harvey used to say, and now you've heard the rest of the story.